CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
But I mean, that character that Brzee shows, I think, is probably a good segue to our number four guy, because you got to tip your cap to Julian Fleming, who, as a wide receiver with a ton of really talented defensive linemen emerging in this class, particularly late, you know, wide receivers don't typically go this high. Julian Fleming doesn't play an elite level of competition. He hung on. And he hung on for dear life for that number four spot, and I think we really credited his just sort of consistency, work ethic, and well-rounded body of work, and kept him in that four hole. And you know, I think it's well deserved. He's a very high floor guy, but he's also a really high ceiling guy too.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that. After seeing him kind of at Under Armour, I came away thinking he's this good already, but he has a lot of areas to improve. Like, he can polish up his route running. You know, he's not a guy who has always been really productive, but he's not one who's really played in like a typical spread offense and he's getting thrown the ball 20 times a game or anything like that. So I think once he gets to Ohio State, we're going to see like a pretty good uptick within his maybe first year or so on campus. I know their receivers coach, Brian Hartline, has kind of talked about just kind of some of his ceiling and areas where he can get better. And and that's the thing, is he goes out to these national events and he's the best receiver at every event he goes to. He was the best receiver at the opening finals, and then he was the best receiver at Under Armour also. So just really... Yeah, man. Like, I think when you kind of look at his whole deal, he's the most athletic receiver in the class. He and Damon Demas had basically the same testing numbers, and Fleming is bigger, heavier, so he kind of gets the edge there. And then you look at the high school production, you know, just the triple sport stuff with being like an above the rim basketball player. He's a 24 foot long jumper, and then he is a complete, like, he, there's not any diva to his game at all. He's a blue collar. We were talking about it at Under Armour. Like, this guy came out here to work. Like, he was trying to get better. He was diving in the dirt, kind of like in the rocks, making catches. It was really impressive. Like, his overall effort level. And you combine that with all of the physical traits and just kind of what he shows from a skill standpoint. I think he's the top receiver in the class. And I know we kind of had the discussion where there's a pretty good drop off from three to four. And that's really not a knock on Fleming. I think those top three are so good. And I think there's several other prospects you could have you could have a debate are the fourth prospect, but I think Fleming is, like you said, a really high floor receiver, but with upside. And that, I think having him at four just shows how much we think about him. Cause you really don't see receivers in the top five very often.
Number eight, our number one offensive tackle, Paris Johnson Jr. Look, I mean, I think at the All-American Bowl, he wasn't like dominant as in the one-on-one reps, and I don't remember a day where he was at the top of our top performers list or anything like that. But this is still a guy, I think, and part of the reason I don't even know that we really spent a whole lot of time scrutinizing him, because he still is 6'7" or whatever, 6'6". He's still tests off the charts from an athleticism standpoint, and if you turn on his film, he's still nasty as all get out, and is presents the physicality and the demeanor you want to see from an offensive lineman. So I don't expect him to be a day one starter at Ohio State. I expect it to take a little time for him to get some hand placement issues squared away, some footwork issues squared away. But just the raw ability, and I think that's something that we have collectively tried to try to emphasize at offensive line, and particularly at offensive tackle, is just sort of the upside and allowing the patience for the best player to emerge over a couple of years. And I really think that's what Paris Johnson is a guy that checks the demeanor box, checks the size box, checks the athleticism box, and let's roll the ball out and see how he does.
Yeah, and just kind of piggybacking on that, I think Paris Johnson, from like a length standpoint, he's got 35.5-inch arms, so he's got the elite length. He can move. All of his testing numbers show like he's really one of the better athletes of everybody in this class, especially offensive linemen. And then like you said, he's nasty on film. Like we'll talk about this later pertaining to some other offensive linemen, but Paris Johnson is very temperamental on the field. He is for typically with offensive linemen, kind of with his physical traits, you don't always know how physical they are. And he is really kind of on the far end of the spectrum with how mean he is as offensive lineman. So I think he, like you said, needs to work on his pass protection a little bit, probably with his anchor kind of getting a little stronger in his lower body and in his base. But I really don't have a whole lot of doubt he's going to do that at Ohio State. But yeah, he's just a pretty unique from a physical and standpoint, and kind of with the mentality also at offensive tackle.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Jackson Smith and Jigba comes in at number 15. He's an Ohio State signee. He was a three-star a year ago. Probably shouldn't have been even at that point. But I think part of the reason he was initially ranked as a three-star after his junior season, when he had like 2,000 yards receiving, like he was a monster as a junior. But his efficiency of movement is so good that it's like he's not eye-popping. Like he doesn't jump off the screen because he just does. It's just he's so smooth that it's almost deceptive how good he is, how athletic he is. And so I think the more we've seen him, the more he's delivered from a production standpoint. And then to cap it off at the All-American Bowl, he got hurt during the week, but during the first 3 days of practice, he was everything we wanted him to be. And so we bumped him up to 15 in the country. But man, this dude is just as polished and smooth as you could ask for at receiver.
Yeah, I think thinking back on it, he's up there with the most polished receivers I've seen at the high school level. I would maybe compare him from like a route running standpoint to like a Calvin Ridley. But I think he was, more productive than Calvin Ridley at the high school level, and really more athletic also. And like you mentioned, he's kind of got like an understated kind of, if you watched Jackson Smith, the Jigba play, you wouldn't say, oh man, he's really fast. But then you look at his testing numbers, like, oh wow, he is fast. Then you realize he's running past everybody. So I think he's the best receiver. If we were to roll out and play like a college football game right now, he would be my guy in this class. I think he's just, with his polish, his route running, his ability after the catch, he kind of runs over his pads and he runs with his shoulders over his feet. So he's really tough, like after the catch too. Like I think it's hard for corners to get a read on which direction he's going. And then also like with his really strong hands, made a bunch of incredible one-handed catches, kind of throughout his senior season, playing really high level of Texas high school football. I mean, he had 34 touchdowns. Like, yeah. I mean, let's not kid around here. This guy is a kind of a monster as a high school receiver. So, man, Ohio State's getting two great ones with him and Fleming, and Jackson Smith and Jigba is one where really it's like it's tough to put a receiver over all of these talented defensive players. But man, like he's as good, like as ready to play as I've seen in the last couple of years.
29, Ohio State's quarterback signee, C.J. Stroud. I think we really felt like this was a turned out to be a pretty good quarterback year. CJ Stroud to us clearly emerged as that number three guy, starting at the Elite 11, building into his just breakout senior season. And then we really liked him at the All-American Bowl, particularly during the week of practice.
Yeah, and CJ Stroud, like, just to kind of paint the picture, he was a first-year starter as a junior, and he came out, he was really kind of, he impressed at the Elite 11 Regional, and then he went to the finals and was the MVP, was great there. And that's kind of was really kind of his jumping off point. And then he comes out as a senior and basically like over doubles his production from a junior to senior year. So it really was just a kind of an instance of him maybe being a little bit more of like a late bloomer from a high school player standpoint. And then when we get out there to the All-American Bowl, like there were times where he was maybe better than Bryce or DJ throw to throw.
Right.
So there was, I would say, at the minimum, very little drop off in the play from Bryce and DJ to CJ Stroud. And kind of what impressed me, Barton, and I think you probably landed on the same, was just his ability to kind of move in the pocket. I think looking at him in high school, he doesn't really run for a ton of yards, so you're kind of getting a grasp for his mobility. And kind of, I thought he was looked maybe better than I expected there. Hanging in the pocket, dropping the ball vertically downfield, accurate, and really for a guy who hasn't maybe been like, you know, as coached up from a, you know, private quarterback coach perspective, and he's a basketball player, 2 year starter in high school, you wouldn't know it watching him. He is, in terms of the polish and just his ability to kind of operate in that really kind of unfavorable all-star setting, as good as the other two. So, and I think when we're viewing this, like, quarterback such a premium position, it was like, why would he not be a five star?
Yeah.
So, I think he really kind of separated himself as the third one in this class. And given how good Bryce and DJ are, that doesn't mean, you know, CJ Stroud shouldn't be a five star either.
33 was Zachary Evans, or is the running back. Darnell Washington, Georgia commit, tight end, is 34. Demoy Kennedy, 35. Derek Wingo, 36. And G. Scott, 37. I'd say those five are maybe the guys that had the most discussion as potential five stars that got left on the sort of the cutting room floor, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that, or is there anyone else you'd add in there?
I would say that probably was the main five.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.